Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and pretty unsurprising vote out there tonight with Libby going home. I think we all kind of predicted this one. I don't have a power rankings in front of me, but Libby finally goes home after 3 weeks of having her name brought up. Angela wins immunity in a food-eating challenge, which was amazing. That I love food-eating challenges. Angela, I don't know. She was an animal. She was working. I mean, the fact that she was able to like work out different ways to get through each food thing while everybody else was struggling, and then she still ended up winning the thing, speaks volumes on her. She was wild. And
throughout the episode, not just in the challenge.
Yeah, seriously, Angela had a big coming out party tonight. Angela was in there tonight. This is we were talking about in the predictions how a lot of the women are being underedited and who's going to kind of step to the forefront here. Now that Chris is gone, Angela had a huge episode tonight. She did a lot. She wins immunity. She had a lot going on here, and maybe she just needed to get rid of the alpha guy who she couldn't speak around. Like she said, it was always his way. And now maybe she gets to find her footing a little bit in the game. But she had a really good episode tonight. It's a shame that the Malolos are all babies, and I'm going to say that right now. You got to make the bold move, guys. You got to make the bold move. And Libby, you know, it's not Libby's fault she went home, but I don't think Libby did enough to try to rally the troops. I know her and Jenna are very tight, and if they wanted to ensure that Libby didn't go home, they could have stuck to this Malolo 5 plan. It was the right move for them to try to stick to this Malolo 5 plan, I think. You still have it where you get rid of a Navidi at 6-5. Not only that, you're getting rid of Wendell. And you make this 6-5, and Angela doesn't feel super comfortable with those girls. So why couldn't you pull somebody like Angela over? I think what it comes down to is how tight Jenna and Sebastian probably are, and we're not seeing like any of it right now, unless you follow them on Instagram. But I just think, like, I don't know. Tonight was the time Malolo had to make that move, and now they're talking about doing it next week. But, like, this is the constant, oh, you realize now? Well, guess what? Now you don't have the numbers, and you're never going to have the numbers. And the time that you're able to have your closest ally play as idol to vote out another huge threat who has an idol, you blow that opportunity. And either we're not being told the whole story, or this was just a really weak move.
Well, I think in addition to how close Jenna is to Sebastian, I think you're right. I mean, they're really not showing it other than them just hanging out on the beach. I also think that Libby and Michael, and probably Jenna too, underestimated this apparent foursome of Donathan, Dominic, Wendell, and Laurel, which is a great group of four right there. But I think, I mean, we learned about them, you know, 2 minutes into the episode, but I really think the original Malolos underestimated that relationship that they built out on that second Navidi beach, because they ended up splitting the votes. Laura went with Libby and Donathan went with Michael. And I know we kind of saw Donathan playing a bit of a double agent. We saw Laurel not really trusting Wendell in a way that she apparently used to, but I think that they were kind of the meat of this. They were the quote unquote swing votes here. And I think Libby, Michael, and Jenna just didn't really stand a chance because they probably didn't know how close they were to them.
I just don't know why if you're Laurel, and I guess you do feel close with Wendell, and we didn't really see the forging of that relationship so much as now we're just seeing this happen where it's like, oh, now I'm worried. He has an idol and he's not telling me everything. Now I'm a little scared. We're seeing more of like the beginning of the cracks in this relationship, but why would you want to stick with two people you know have idols when you could go with – when you could vote one of them out, side with somebody who's getting rid of their idol, and you're never going to be the biggest threat in that group because Michael's always going to be there. And if you go back to the other side, you're never going to be the biggest threat there because Dominic's always going to be there. I just feel like there were a lot of outs here for this Malolo 5, and I guess that the – like you said, the Donathan and Laurel, Wendell, and Dom thing must be real legit because we saw Donathan run up to Dominic last week, and then this week it seemed like they weren't ever really going to actually go through with this plan. This plan was just thrown in motion so that we as the viewer could think that something different was going to happen. But, I mean, Wendell's obviously very confident he's not going home tonight. He seemed like he was never worried at all, even when his name came up once.
Yeah, I was actually – and I'm going to correct myself. Libby voted for Michael. There were a couple weird votes.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Libby didn't end up voting for Michael. So, I mean, she kind of took the Michael approach that he took on when he was voting out all of his old Malolos. She threw that extra vote his way, which ultimately didn't end up helping her. But I think, you know, if she knew it was her and him on the chopping block, she had to go for him. And this night was the quintessential example why you never tell someone that you have an idol. Michael was walking out that he was walking out of tribal council. Otherwise, I think he had 7 votes negated against him. That's, I mean, that's a ton. And nobody knew that. Like, did someone suspect that he had an idol? I think they just kind of talked about it when they were talking about splitting the votes. I mean, he was in a great position. I actually, maybe I'm naive and maybe it's because I was watching with 3 people who don't watch Survivor. I didn't think it was super obvious. I thought it was obvious that Libby was going to go home just because she was getting a lot of content. And finally her content was like, why don't people like me? And I need to fix why these people don't like me. And it turns out that people voted her out because she's hot and she once had a target on her. And then they took it off. Like, you can't take it off. Like, in that taco reward between, I think it was Angela and Chelsea, they were just like, yeah, you once had a target on your back and we just aren't going to take it off. So sorry.
It all literally comes down to, and this is where, I mean, even you can still lump Angela into this because what have we really seen until tonight? What did we really see from Angela? She looked like she's running around like a chicken with her head cut off. But this just all comes down to what tribe did you start on at this point? I mean, it's always annoying. And this would grate on me if I was in Libby's situation, because Angela and Chelsea really haven't done anything. And it would annoy the crap out of me that they're like telling me why I'm going home, when in reality, the only reason Libby was going home is because she started off on Malolo and not on Naviti. She starts off on Naviti in Chelsea's spot and they're swapped. Chelsea goes home tonight and Libby is fine. Like, it's that simple.
Yeah, and they showed 2 kind of big Naviti, like, and did you, like, really, that's kind of hypocritical moments. I remember this happened when, after the first tribe stop, when Kellen was like, I think my relationships are really good, and then they cut to her at the well, and she's like, I'm going to vote all of you off. This happened twice tonight. We had what you just said, Chelsea at tribal council. She said, oh, if you're at the bottom, like, you know, you maybe should make a big move. And that's coming from Chelsea's mouth. And then there's also Dez saying, if you're not making big moves at this point in the game, then you're not playing. And I'm sitting there thinking, Dez, you have been voting with the majority the entire time. And the only reason that you might still be here is because you were lucky enough to be on the right side of a tribe swap. So it's just getting really, really frustrating to watch this.
What's interesting is when like Chelsea, though, is saying that Chelsea is getting 0 confessionals consistently. She's getting nothing. She still has the least amount of confessionals in the season. She got nothing tonight. But Chelsea seems like she's always right there as like, and maybe this isn't the right
she's
comparison.
Like involved.
She's Smee. You know what I'm talking about? In Peter Pan? Smee. In Peter Pan, Captain Hook's right-hand man who just repeats what Captain Hook says over and over and over again, but is always repeating it to the person who, like, Captain Hook is addressing and superior to. So, like, Kellen will say, this is what we're doing. And then Chelsea's like, yeah, this is what we're doing, and this is why. Like, saying the exact
doing
same
this,
thing.
We are.
Just in different, like, maybe, like, switching up 2 words there. And, like, I feel like Chelsea is very much a part of it. Like, you know, in this ridiculous analogy, Smee is the right-hand man of Captain Hook. I mean, that is his guy. That's the first mate there. So I feel like Chelsea is in a good position for her game, but nobody's respecting it at all. And I don't think anybody cares. But I do think that she's actually playing the best game she can be playing right now. And I don't even think it's a bad game. I think that she's not on the bottom of that Naviti, and that's why she doesn't feel the need to flip. I don't think she's at the bottom. And I think that she's still going to get a straight bullet, and that's how she's going to go home. And that's why she's been super under-edited. And I still don't think that she's going to go because Naviti ends up coming out with their 7 still intact as the final 7. And then they say, okay, we're voting out Chelsea now. Like, I don't think she will be the target when she actually goes home.
Well, I mean, to further your point, you're right. Chelsea isn't playing a bad game. Dez isn't playing a bad game. Kellen's not playing a bad game. They're just playing a very safe game, which as a viewer is very boring. And they have the ability to do this because it's not going to be unless I'm doing my math wrong, there's no way that a Malolo majority is going to be on the jury. So that even if one Malolo does make it to the final tribal council, it's not like it's going to be, oh, just like we're going to vote orange because we want an orange person to win. So they can get away with this. They can get away with this like nationalism because now there's only 4 of them left. And Michael has no friends right now. I mean, everyone just voted for Michael. And now he's without an idol. Laurel and Donathan are clearly with this other group. And why am I forgetting the last person? Jenna is hanging out with Sebastian. So
That's why you're
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there's no like in the group of Malolos, this wasn't the group of Malolos to make a big switch. If you swap in, if you take like the Malolos from the original swap, like you take Brendan, take Stephanie, like you take James, I feel like that's a group that is going to be like Malolo strong forever. But Laurel and Donathan had these experiences on the Navidi beach, and Jenna has this thing going on with Sebastian. Like this just isn't a group that is like super tight with each other.
And that's why like though it comes down to Bradley and Kellen made the absolute right moves when they made those moves. They got rid of the right people. As much as it sucked to see Stephanie and Brendan go back to back so early in the game, this was the absolute right move for Bradley and for Kellen, because now you're seeing how easy it is to kind of manipulate every other one who's left other than Michael. They were working their way to getting rid of Michael. That they knew their order. They were going to save Jenna for last because they knew they could do whatever they wanted with Jenna. And that was their goal. And it's kind of like if you go back and watch Token Chains, if you look at what JT and Taj did, they saved it so that, or JT, Taj, and Steven saved it so that Aaron and Coach were the last two remaining from original Timbira. Why? Because you could control them. You knew what they were going to say. You knew what they were going to do. You weren't worried about it. So it was always, okay, let's get rid of Brendan. Let's get rid of Tyson. Let's get rid of Sierra. Let's get rid of, and then let's get rid of Debbie. You know, you had to get rid of your actual threats first before you get rid of everybody else, because you can get rid of them at any point. I mean, they literally voted out Taj in that season before voting out Aaron because they were still confident Aaron wasn't going to win at final three. And it was going to be an easy decision for JT and Steven to go to the final two. So, like, when you watch this and you see, like, Stephanie Johnson and Brendan go out, two people are huge, huge fans of Survivor. The reason is because they could actually disrupt Bradley and Kellen's game. And that's why, like, I know somebody was giving me crap, like, on one of the comments. I really don't care. But somebody's giving me crap for how much I've, like, defended Bradley here, but I don't care. He made the right moves, and it's being proven as this game continues on. He's just never going to get any credit for it because he was the villain who went home before the merge.
Well, I mean, just going back to your whole, like, I mean, what we've just been talking about for the past 10 minutes, like, this is a really boring game to watch. Like, the Chris vote, like, last week was really fun. The week four was pretty fun. But overall, like, if it's just not that fun to watch. And, like, yeah, it's the right moves. Of course they're the right moves. Like, they're all staying safe. They're getting rid of all the Malolos. So now there isn't even a chance. Like I just said, there isn't even a chance for them to potentially lose to Malolo, like, for nationalism at the final tribal council. It's just, and like, great. I met Angela tonight, and it was awesome. Like, not just because of how she crushed the challenge, but she, like, we saw some personality. We saw some context. We saw her making some moves, and she threw Michael's name out there, and it's nothing wild. You know, she threw out the name of a athletic person who is an underdog and has an idol, but you know, she made a move, and I really liked that. I thought that was really good TV, and I just liked seeing her play the game. Libby, she went home. I finally got to, like, learn a little bit about her, but there's still Dez. Kellen has since disappeared. What is Chelsea? Like,
Kellen disappeared this episode.
Like, what's going on with Donathan? Like, I don't really know where he stands on things. I don't know where Laurel stands on things. So what I do like about this episode is it gave me a lot more context for people. That was something I've been wanting for a while. I felt like I got that, and so that I'm really happy about.
Yeah, and I will say, Kellen only disappeared for, like, this episode. She still got a confessional, and she's still talking. Or maybe she might not have gotten a confessional, but she was still, you know, they showed, like, this is the first time I'm actually mad, and, like, you know, like, the whole Michael thing and everything. But I don't know. Like, the way I look at this is, like, we finally got to learn more about Libby, but, like, how much more fun is this if Libby's a big character and Michael plays the idol, and it's between Michael, Wendell, and Libby, and you're sitting there going, oh my God, I don't want to lose any of those three, as opposed to saying, I don't want to lose Michael or Wendell, and then neither of them go home and Libby goes home, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, it has that, like, you know, it's just deflating.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
yeah, like, and I feel for Libby in this game because I don't think she played a bad game. I think that, you know, the vote out of Morgan, I still think was probably the right move. It does weaken Navidi. It shows, like, a divide there. You have Dominic. Yeah, I mean, that was at the time where Chris and Dominic were never going to work together. So why not vote out Dominic's closest ally, which was Morgan? I mean, I still think it's the right move. I think that put a target on her back. And especially since James wasn't there after, like, by the time it hit the merge. So he couldn't take any of the heat for that. It was all on Libby. But I still think people were just looking at Libby because they were like, oh, she doesn't have an idol. Like, whatever. We'll just get rid of her because she doesn't have an idol. And tonight I kind of fault her because if you're in her position, I feel like you have to say, you know what? Screw it. I'm voting for Wendell because I just have to believe that my vote really doesn't even matter because there's so many of them. I mean, it was seven. What was it? It was seven.
It was 7-4-1.
So she could have voted for Wendell, and then it's 6-4-2 anyway. And then you just hope that two other people flip with you, you know, and that's,
I mean,
that's
to me,
the movie
that's
to
like,
me.
To me, it's like a lose-lose for her. Like she votes for Wendell. I mean, at least she voted for someone who like would have gone, like in her mind, like
I think
in her mind, that's the right move because we, nobody knows that Michael has an idol.
But I think what she has to be doing there is saying, okay, if I can somehow make the Malolo thing work, like she was playing this episode to make it 3 more days, which is fine. I mean, you see people do that all the time and actually end up winning the game.
I mean, she needed to. Oh, there's Jenna.
Yeah, you need to. What I'm saying is, could she have gone to Jenna and gone to Donathan and gone to Laurel, gone to that whole bunch and said, guys, Michael's right. This really is the time. And what if Michael has an idol? He's going to play it tonight because he's convinced that he's getting the votes. So let's team up and let's get rid of Wendell. Like, we can actually do it tonight. And I'm telling you, Laurel and Wendell are way closer than we're being led to believe. Mm-hmm. Like, this whole, like, Laurel's worried about Wendell, that's not true. I don't think it's true at all. I think they're just trying to plant that in your ear because in the end, Laurel's going to somehow miss out on making final three, probably at Wendell's expense. But right now, I don't think that this is legitimate at all. And so I think, like, you have to – I don't know. I just feel like you have to get rid of Wendell when you have the chance, but I don't think – I think Laurel actually sees herself going to the final three or four with Wendell.
I think she does too. I can't really fault Libby for it because I believe that Libby went for this. Like, I'm sure that Libby assumes that Michael had an idol. I'm sure she knew votes were coming her way because they've been coming her way for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. I think she said, like, for the past three votes, she's gotten – someone's thrown a vote at her. I just think – that they probably didn't show that to us because they probably wanted to keep a little bit of suspense. And like we've been saying, I really don't think Donathan and Laurel were going to flip on Wendell. So I think just because we didn't see it, I don't think that means Libby didn't try.
Yeah, no, and I'm not necessarily saying she didn't try. I'm just saying that like there had to.
I just think it wasn't the right group. It wasn't the right glued together group of Malolos.
And that's the problem because let's say Wendell seems very serious that he wants to go to the final four with Dominic, Laurel, and Donathan. I think Wendell thinks he can beat all of them. That's why he wants to get to the final four with them. But if he's that serious about that, at what point, if he only has those four, it looks like the girls on Navidi are all voting together every time. I mean, even though Angela's – I know Angela didn't last week and Dez didn't last week, but if you look at who the girls on Navidi voted for this time, they all voted for Libby. Which kind of tells me that last week, that still was like a sort of split vote. Maybe not with Angela because she didn't see it coming, but I think Dez voted for Libby because the girls were supposed to vote for Libby and it might have been a just-in-case vote. I really do think that because Dez didn't seem upset at all. We heard numerous times from Angela that she had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, it was Dez, Kellen, Chelsea, and Laurel who went for Libby. And then – see, Libby voted for Michael. I feel like I can't give Libby the fault on this. But, yeah, I mean, they – I don't know. I'm just happy for Angela. Like, I think this was like her, like you said, this was her like big coming out party. This was a really good episode for her. And I know it's easy for people to say like, oh, of course you picked Michael. Like, why didn't you pick Wendell or Dominic? Like, I feel like at this point now we're just looking for reasons to dislike Angela. Yeah. I think Angela had an amazing episode and she deserves a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Angela had a really good night tonight and you know, it's like about time. And I don't know. We're still not seeing a lot of, you know, there's 11 people left. And I was actually thinking about it tonight. I'm like, when those 12 came in for the immunity challenge, I was like, this is normally in the early days of Survivor, this was 4 episodes in. And now we're sitting here with only what, 4 or 5 episodes left.
Yeah.
You know crazy. What I mean? So it's crazy. And that's how many people are left. Like, so it's like how much you can't really fault the editors. I still think 18 is the perfect number. 16, you know, you could get to know everybody, but it almost feels like, you know, it's just too small of a group. And 20 just always feels too big. I mean,
20 is way too big.
There's never been a 20 person season that was perfectly edited. Somebody always gets left out in some way. I mean, even in Heroes versus Villains, look at all of the invisible edits in that season. There were so many. I mean, Courtney got like nothing. Tyson got almost nothing. Like, it sucks. And you know, these 20 person seasons, they're so big. You're telling me you couldn't have cut one man and one woman in this season? Like, you definitely 110% could have. And I won't say who, but you could have done it.
But you could have.
I mean, they've pretty much done it in the editing anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they basically got them already. I'm trying to think, like, in recent, like, within the past 10 seasons, how many 18-player seasons have we had? Because I feel like they've been skewing more towards 20-player seasons.
No, actually, I think 18 has been more popular. It was
Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. That was 18.
That was 35. 34 was 20. 33 was 20. 32 was 18. 31 was 20. 30 was 18. 29 was 20. Okay. So it goes back and forth between 18 and 20. It's pretty even. I mean, Cagney Out was 18. Blood vs. Water was 20, but they pretty much had 18 because Rupert and Candace were both on, whatever.
Right away. That hasn't happened.
16 was, I think, all the way back in Token Jeans.
Yeah.
I think that was the last time you actually had 16 people. It was all the way back in Token Jeans. Yeah.
But all the way back.
That was season 18. That was the halfway point of Survivor Ended Tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, maybe Sam Wendelsher was 18. I think Sam Wendelsher was actually 18. Because I think it was 9 and 9, not 10 and 10. But anyway, whatever.
Anyways, that's not here. Someone
it doesn't matter.
It's not relevant to the episode.
It really isn't relevant to the episode, but it's making that point of there's 11 people left, and like it's really hard to end all of them positively. Yeah.
I'm rooting for maybe four.
I feel bad for Donathan right now because Donathan was so big after the first episode and he's kind of disappeared. And I do think he's got a lot of game in him. And he's the one, he seems like he's always thinking. He almost feels like Andrea in her first season. And everybody knows how I feel about Andrea in her first season. I just want to shake her. Always like one step behind actually making the move. Like where it was, man, we got to make this happen. And you're just always like one step behind. And then you end up getting voted out when it finally clicks in your head. Like, this actually is what I have to do. I need to get rid of Boston Rob. And then you get voted out instead. Like, that's how I feel like Donathan is right now. Like, he sees what he's supposed to be doing, but he's like just one little smidge behind everybody else right now.
See, I feel like he's doing stuff that we're just not really being shown his credit for it. Because last week, after the whole like Chris powwow at the water well, we were shown he was the first one to go up to Dominic and say like, hey, we're actually going to vote Chris. But this ends up being like Dominic's big move because it was the Dominic versus Chris thing. And then this week he was kind of involved too. But I feel like they were giving Angela a lot of the attention. They were giving Mike a lot of the attention. This wasn't really like a Wonderall Dominic move. Like, I think, like Dominic said early in the episode, I need to take a step back now, which I think is the smartest thing for him to do.
Yeah, I think Dominic's playing really good. I mean, there's no denying how good of a game Dominic's playing.
Dominic does not have a vote against him. I didn't realize that. No one has voted for Dominic.
Oh, yeah, because Chris couldn't vote. That's crazy. There you go. I mean, hey, that's wild, though. I mean, he's playing an aggressive game. He's playing in everybody's face. Everybody knows how dangerous he can be. And he hasn't had to do anything yet. I mean, yeah, he played his idol at a tribal council, or he played the legacy advantage when he didn't have to, but he still has an idol, so I don't think that's really a big deal, especially if he's not going to be getting any heat right now, which doesn't seem like he is. It seems like Wendell's actually the one taking the heat, because I think people are more worried that Wendell can beat them than Dominic. I think people think they can beat Dominic even if they've made good relationships with him. I don't think anybody thinks they can beat Wendell.
Yeah, I think they're starting to realize that too. My whole argument for Wendell being number one in my power rankings for the past month and a half was he has someone to hide behind. I really don't think he does anymore. I think Dominic has somebody to hide behind now. Sidebar, when I left out right after they get back from tribal council, Michael was like, nice shell. Dominic's like, thanks. Made myself.
See, now if you're Dominic in that situation, would you throw that thing in the fire and just be like, look, it is fake. It's not real. Cause everybody knows that it's there. Would you just do that so that nobody's like suspiciously looking at you? Like he might actually still have an idol.
I feel like the problem is he's in too deep on it. Like, well, I think they all know that he does have a real one.
You think you know? I don't know, because he's
Laura, they were all talking about like Laura and Wendell. Wendell was like, I haven't even seen it, but I know it exists.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Everyone seems to know it exists, but I think it's funny. He's like, rolling with it because I don't know if it's just like him being in denial about how obvious it is and everyone's like, okay, Dom. I don't know. I feel like he's in too deep with it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if he would have burned it, though, I wonder if people would have been like, because Wendell knows, because obviously Dominic told Wendell that he has an actual real idol. But I wonder if he like throws that shell in the fire, if everybody else goes, you know, maybe he doesn't actually have one. Maybe that was it. And he's just proving to us, you know, that he doesn't have one. So I don't
know. Who knows? Who knows? And then we still have one thing that hasn't been mentioned in a while and probably won't be mentioned until she uses it. Kellen's got that extra vote.
Mm-hmm. Which will be used at some point. Kellen's been so, so Navidi strong that if she gets even a hint that somebody's turning on a Navidi or if she feels the numbers start to slide, she's going to use it. And I think that's why I will. I think that you're like end game people right now, because I think Michael's eventually going to go. I feel like Michael's going to be like Zeke and Millennials for Gen X, where just it gets him. Eventually, he just goes home anyway.
I just don't know how he has a path anymore. There's like 10 people who all voted for him at one point.
I mean, they should all just vote him out next week. So I'm sitting here saying that your late game people are probably like Wendell, Dom, Laurel, Donathan, and Kellen. And maybe at like 6 or 7, Kellen uses that advantage to make sure that somebody like Jenna goes home, or somebody like Sebastian goes home, somebody that she doesn't have the control over. Or maybe she even uses that to get rid of one of the people I just mentioned to ensure that 4 doesn't go. Like maybe Laurel gets booted because of Kellen's extra vote. Like these are the things that I see happening with that vote. But I think that this is going to happen a little bit further down the line. I feel like Michael is definitely, definitely in trouble next week. I think that's the end of his line, because unless he wins immunity, how the hell is he surviving?
Or maybe he goes to Ghost Island and they actually give him something, because Jenna,
oh god,
Ghost Island, which how many people, I just want to know, we recorded about 250 to 300 prop bet entries. There might not be a single one, and if there was, please contact me, that had Jenna going to Ghost Island and Angela winning individual immunity. Please contact me immediately if you picked two of those, because we really live in an alternate reality right now. But that was so sad. Like everyone gets their emotional sad moment, and Jenna was like, I was sad and then I was happy to go to Ghost Island and then I didn't play the game and now I am sad, and then cut to the food eating challenge.
I have so many complaints about this. I'm just saying Ghost Island is like,
we got to talk someone about the Sunday idea, because you and I have been so...
The Sunday idea is so much better.
We've been so different, because now I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I don't want like more than 50% of Ghost Island to be nothing. But I am so against a large amount of advantages. So why don't we throw in a reward steal, throw in some extra rice for your camp. Like, throw in just like little things that aren't advantages. Like, these people are starving out there. Like, have Jenna like decide who gets extra food or something like that. Like something that's not an immunity oriented advantage. I think Sunday's idea was amazing. And Sunday, if you're listening, you need to contact everyone at CBS.
Yeah, seriously.
That's such a great idea.
Pay attention to us, but they'll pay attention to you. I just think,
or maybe not.
I just think this is a dud. I mean, I really do think Ghost Island itself, I think the season's fine. I'm enjoying the season. It's not blowing me away, but I'm enjoying it. I am
like cautiously happy with it.
It's better than the last two seasons, like for sure. I like the cast a lot. I think you have a lot of people who are going to be second timers. I thought it was great tonight when Michael said you only get to play Survivor once, or I probably only get to play Survivor once, because that kid's coming back. There's no way they're not bringing Michael back unless Michael doesn't want to play, which you know he does. Michael will be back on the island one day. He's a fantastic character. He's young, you know, he can learn and grow and we can watch it, whatever. But
yeah, in 6 years, he's going to be like the average age of a Survivor player. So
exactly. So he's got plenty of time to come back. He's been eating up a lot of screen time, but I just think that like what we're watching with Ghost Island, the actual island, it's just not worth it. Like I just am not into it. There's too many nothings. And I think Sunday's thing is the best, but at the same time with what they're doing now, it actually is a more boring version of Exile Island, because Exile Island at least had you go out there and you look for an idol, and people didn't always find the idol the first time they went out there,
but they
or left. you had to But they looked, they were doing something. And sometimes, you know, Token Sheen's had that great, you know, the Taj and Brendan, you know, getting onto Ghost Island or Exile Island together. Like you had so much, they were like perfecting Exile Island to making it like this own thing where you get cross tribal alliances and all this fun stuff. And now you bring in Ghost Island. One person is always going. Half the time, they're not doing anything. When they're not doing anything, they're not looking for anything. Really, like, the games that they've played to get the things aren't all that exciting. They just walk up a path with fire, pick something up, look inside. Either they're told nope or yes. Like, that's it. Like, it's not all that exciting. I'd much rather watch Dan Kay go and dig in a trench for a day while he finds absolutely nothing and Sugar's lounging back at her camp knowing she has the idol or whatever. I'd rather watch that every time. I mean, you know, It's just more fun. This is just kind of like, look, they go, they sit down. We've seen every single one of them cook rice. Ooh, but like, We're not seeing them actually do enough to justify putting it in every single episode.
And now that I'm thinking about it, like you kind of gave me an idea. Like, yeah, okay. So Kellen's looking at three different cylinders, and two out of the three of them have this advantage that she's looking for. Why don't we instead have Kellen do some kind of like, what's that challenge where you have to like kind of stack all the dominoes? Like you got only like one chance to do that, or like some kind of balancing, like just something that's a little more. Just like makes me a little more excited, because me watching Kellen decide what to pick is like not particularly exciting. Like I'm sure her thought process was very interesting.
I'm sure her heart was pounding, but mine wasn't.
I'm sure it was very intense, but I unfortunately was not there to watch her heart pound through her chest. So it would have been like kind of cool to maybe watch her like do some kind of challenge or like balance, or I guess just kind of earn it more, and just as a viewer to earn it more. And then again, it's not giving her 500 advantages. It's giving Jenna the opportunity to say, hey, you can have an extra scoop of rice, but you either have to give it to Sebastian or you have to give it to Libby. Who are you going to give it to? Like, that's fine. That just gives me more of a reason to watch. It creates some tension. It creates relationships. And there's no advantage getting at the end. Boom.
Yeah.
Next job.
That's it. I mean, I think that's it though. And I think that's spot on better. Like it's so much better than like what we've been watching, because half the people, I think half the time I would say you have seen them get, nope, no game for you today. And even if they had to do a pick'em thing to decide if they actually got an advantage or not, instead of hitting an urn that's predetermined, if they actually got to go out there and they had to pick between two things, that was one, you could play for an advantage or no. And yes, then all of a sudden you either go to a challenge, or then you go to do this, or you have to go, you get a clue to where it is or something, or you just do what they did with Jacob the first time where it's, you got it, but now you have to give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
That is so much more fun than just like, no, you got nothing, or yeah, congratulations, you got an extra vote, moving on. Like
Ghost, you straight up get an idol.
Yeah, and once you're done looking at Ghost Island, it's the same reason why they just keep going to Fiji. Once it's worn off that, oh, look how pretty it is, look how different it is. You know, it used to be Africa, Australia, the back to the beach for Marquesas, Thailand. They used to, you know, the location used to be a huge thing to view. Once you're past looking at how cool Ghost Island is, what does Ghost Island really bring? I thought the Chris thing the one time was really fun. He gets to sneak out, get out there, do that. But aside from Chris and aside from Jacob's initial time, Ghost Island to me has just been nothing. Like, it just, I don't like it. And it takes up so much. It takes up too much time, like every episode.
Yeah, but I think back when we had our debate, which was, I don't know, at this point, probably 3 or 4 episodes ago, I was okay with it. But I think now that we've come up with so many other ideas for how it can be better, I'm very dissatisfied for it. I'm very dissatisfied with it.
And I'm surprised with all the people who work on the show that, like, you know, all the producers and stuff, nobody said, you know what, how can we spice this up a little bit? Because it's the same reason why a lot of the challenges have gone to the wayside. They no longer just stand on a pole in the middle of the ocean and are tempted down for food, because they don't think that that is something that's fun for the viewer to watch. So
I love the food temptation. Oh, just put that out there.
I love it. I absolutely love it too. But they like to make the challenge is very easy for the viewer to watch. You know, everything always ends with a puzzle. They're shooting things like tonight in the reward challenge, they're shooting off those things. It's something very simple to watch and you can create excitement from it. Because, oh, you know, somebody's hanging on a pole and somebody falls down and whatever. With this, like, I'm surprised nobody said, how can we make this more exciting than just, okay, pick a card, any card, and is this your card? Like, that's what we're watching. And, like, you know, it's not that exciting. There needs to be a better way to make it more exciting. And I think that there are a lot of ways. And Sunday had one of the best ways. And I'm surprised that, like, nobody there, and maybe somebody did, but I'm surprised nobody said, hey, why don't we do this? You know, why don't we implement this or anything so that instead of Jenna just reading a piece of parchment, cooking rice, sitting down, like who wants to watch that? That's not fun.
No, exactly. I completely agree with you. I think we need somebody to like actively write this out and like really like put a lot of effort into this. And then we got to send it off to Will.
Seriously. I know. Will's going to get an earful when the next time I see him.
I'm like, dude, stern talking to
him. Yell at somebody.
yeah, that'll be great for you. Yeah, yell at some people. Well, you referenced the challenge a little bit. Let's talk about the challenges a little bit. So this reward challenge, I think it was a turnkey challenge, but it was really cool. And I was watching with my roommates who don't watch Survivor, and that made it so much more fun. Like Donathan trying to just yank that thing back. That is me. Like, I think that thing is way heavier than it seems. And I think he just had the wrong angle. I was ready for him to just go like catapulting off into the water.
Well, I mean, it's the same. I don't know if anybody's ever used those leg bands. I don't know if you ever used those.
Yeah.
But like when I used to run, you know, that was like one of the things you would always use for like leg kicks and stuff. And like, when you get like one of them, you're like, oh, I could do this easy. When you get the ones that have more tension on them, you're like, okay, I think I just dislocated my hip. Like, it's over. And I think that's what happened to Donathan is like, if he only pulls a little bit, he's fine. He keeps pulling. That thing is yanking him back. Like, he's getting tossed. And I mean, Wendell was an absolute beast in it. I mean, not for nothing. Just how fast is Wendell? I mean, just watching him run was great. He's so
quick. Him and Laurel's legs combined are probably like 2 miles long.
It's crazy. I mean, it's great. So you watch that happen. And I think I like this challenge. This challenge actually reminded me of one from back in Guatemala where they had a race out to get the bags off the net, where it's like so simple. You're literally just running out, run back, run out, run back, get your thing, run out, run back. But like, I don't mind that. It doesn't always have to end with a puzzle. I'd rather just watch it end like this. I'd rather just watch this.
I liked it because this was one where like I could easily put myself in it. And Laurel's first two times up, she crushed it. And then the third time she couldn't even walk. She was so tired. Like that looked like a pretty brutal challenge.
Yeah, I think it was. And then obviously the food eating one's just fantastic, but we should talk about the order of this. Cause you and me talked about this.
Yeah. We texted about this a little bit.
So first of all, Wendell just tossing the eye to the side. That was hilarious. You could feel – that was one where you actually could feel his heart beating through his chest. He probably felt that and was like, I'm going to throw up.
I am surprised by the lack of crap he got for that.
He probably got a lot of crap for that. He probably did. I
wonder why they didn't show it.
Because, yeah, probably because he's going to either win or get really close to winning, or he's just a hero. But, you know, because he was, like, talking crap to Dom in the challenge where he's like, how you feeling, Dom?
Oh, I like that. when he was doing that.
But like, you know that he was getting something from people because he touched that thing. He was like, nope, nope. And you could just see him staring off like he couldn't do it.
That was a big fat nope for me.
Okay, the eyes are simple. The eyes you just swallow, whatever. That's honestly, I think the eyes are simple. And I can talk a big game. I don't know. I haven't done it, but I think the eyes are simple. You literally just
swallow. I don't know. Well, they soon graduated to a sea cucumber, which
yeah. Well, then
we'll get to.
It's actually a sea slug, Alexa. It was a sea slug.
Oh, is that what it was?
But then the next one was the live things. Okay, and this is like what Jervis wasn't able to do back in season one. So like, of course, we're gonna get that. And like, this one's harder because like you can't just swallow them, and like you're eating something that's alive, and I'm sure that tastes absolutely disgusting. So like, that one's a bigger deal. The sea slug thing was insane because to watch Angela actually swallow the first one.
Straight and then up swallow.
Swallowed the first one. And then she tries to swallow the second one, can't get it down and like spits it back up, then tries to swallow it again, and then ends up just eating it and still gets through that part of the challenge. I mean, absolutely bossed by Angela. But those things were huge. That thing was gigantic.
They were thick. That was just terrifying. God. We were watching that in dead, like half disgust and half just like in pure awe. Like it was just absolutely wild that she did that.
So I actually, yeah, exactly. So I actually liked the way they progressed these first three, because the second one's gross because it's alive. You probably still could swallow that. I'm sure somebody did. Like, I'm pretty sure BB might have just like downed it down the hatch. I don't even know back in Borneo, but I think you can. The next one I like, I think it's easier than the live thing because there's a big difference between killing a live spider and just picking up a dead spider. You know what I mean? So like that whole mental thing of like that's alive, that's alive, that's alive, that's way harder than, you know, that's tough to overcome. So you have to make the next thing bigger if it's not going to be alive. And those things were huge. You had to chew those. You had to get that taste in your mouth. What the hell was the last thing though? I didn't get it. It didn't look all that disgusting. I don't get it. It didn't do it for me.
So that one didn't bother me either. So it was a mother of pearl. I gotta look deeper into this. But to me, it just looked like you've had oysters on the half shell before, right? Like it looked like just that times 10. Like it looked to be that kind of consistency, probably a little more like gummy. But like unlike the bugs, it wasn't moving. It seemed to be already dead. And like people eat oysters. Like I eat clams. Like those are like fairly normal things, and it's probably way more disgusting because it's not like drenched in butter. But I don't know that I feel like that one should have been the but the, I feel like that one should have gone second, and then either put the slugs or the bugs at the very end because those are your two like shock value ones. And especially with the bugs, they're trying to make this a whole ghost island thing, reverse the curse. Put that one last if you're going to try to make that whole statement, or put the sea slugs last because that was just a really
Yeah,
impressive
it's insane.
attempt.
I just,
I don't know.
I think that with the last one, I think they want as many people to eat. Like the obviously the eyes are an easy one first, but I think they want as many people to eat the live bugs as possible. So you have six people eating those live bugs because you get the reactions of all of them. So I think that's what they were doing with that one. I think the sea slug should have been the last one. And I think the pearl thing, whatever it was, should have been third. And Sebastian should have been eating that instead of eating the sea slug. I mean, Sebastian making it that far, his facial expressions are hilarious.
Oh
I
my
love him.
God, that was
He's
insane. But then again, now that I'm thinking about it, like Sebastian really struggled with the slugs, but Michael really, really struggled with the mother of pearl. So there
did.
must have been something about it that was horrifying, or he just like really could not move past the fact that
I
he was eating
almost,
like a
yeah,
head-sized clam.
I almost wish that Jeff would have given us more of an explanation on what it was. You know, think about how he described the fish back in Marquesas, you know, where Boston Rob had to go bobbing for it, and he was describing the smell and how long it's left in the sun, and you see the flies. Like, why didn't he describe this more in depth? Like the others, you can see it, you get it. But this one, he should have been like, this is the mother of pearl. It literally is baked in the sun for 15 days, and it smells like, you know, God only knows what. It smells like a
Smells like
dumpster. Go
Jenna's
have fun.
hair.
Yeah, it smells like the weasel. So, like, let's get out of here. Like, I wonder, like, what that, you know, what that is. I don't know. I just wonder whether they
I
do
was a
that.
little curious about that too. I don't know. And I mean, he didn't really describe the sea slugs or the bugs that much, but they didn't need much explanation because they were just like
Yeah, we
straight
know what
up
they are.
disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I was a little, because I remember looking at that and I was like, that doesn't seem like too much of an issue. But clearly it was an issue because Michael was, I thought they were going to show him projectile vomiting. That was, he was close. That was not looking good.
And then he goes back and eats the other thing.
Yeah,
Amazing. Like then he
that's
goes
just
back
like
and
the
gets it.
power
He's like, why not?
saving.
I just want to say I finished it. I mean,
Need some
why
protein.
not? At that and that's the whole thing. And I think that's where Michael's mentality was right. And Angela doesn't even look like she was bothered. I mean, I'm sure she was in the military. Who knows if she was deployed, like what she
I
was
don't
eating
think
or
she
whatever she
gives a
had to do.
crap.
I don't
Yeah,
know. You know, I
she
hope she
was
gives.
dancing. Like
Like,
she had the whole. She had a lot of
yeah. Well,
personality.
that's the other thing
When
too.
she won, she was like amped. It was awesome.
If something's gross, you're jumping around. I mean, that's how it always is. I mean,
Oh
yeah.
yeah, I'd be like flipping upside down.
Oh man, yeah, I have a great story for you, Alexa. But anyway, but like you watch this and it's just like like you have to have that mentality if you want Survivor. It is literally like 30 seconds of disgust. And then that's going to be over and you could have immunity. Like, this is the challenge. If you get voted out the night of the food challenge, you kick yourself over and over and over again because you're
I
like, not
know.
so much Libby, because Libby was, she was going to town. I mean, she was eating it, she was doing everything she could. But like, if you don't win because you didn't actually.
Wendell goes home. Tonight.
You're beating yourself up so bad over it because it's all mind over matter. You know, it's like why Jeff Varner was so miserable about jumping down for peanut butter. Literally stands on that pole. He makes the jury of Australia, and he's probably in All Stars. But instead, he jumps down for peanut butter. All mind over matter. And these are the ones that you beat yourself up for if you go home that night because you're just like, why didn't I just do this? Like, why didn't I just get it done? Now, I don't know if anybody was going to beat Angela tonight because she was just a tank.
Destroying
but,
it.
But still.
Tank. Yeah, the mind over matter stuff is like, I think of those two like you just described. I think of the jumping off because Jeff is tempting me with like 50 donuts. I think of the actively sitting out to eat like 5,000 cheeseburgers while everyone else is balancing. I think about the one where you're breathing through a grate and the like high tide is coming up in these kind of challenges. I think I would struggle. I mean, temptation, I don't think that would bother me. Like, he always tempts me with cookies. Like, I'm not a sweets person. If he had Cheez-Its, completely different story. But these, like, this food challenge, this disgusting food challenge, I would have such a hard time with it. Like, I cannot put to words how I always wondered, like, what if you don't even look at it? Like, what if Jeff describes it and you're like, okay, but you keep your eyes closed the entire time and just like take it to the face? Like, maybe that would help. I don't know.
I mean, Sebastian was holding his nose and just like bouncing around. Ugh. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, the food challenge and the breathing through a grate challenge would, and like that, remember that spinning wheel of death? Like, those would be the three, the worst ones.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I mean, or maybe eating whatever Denise ate. So, all right, you want to do MVP, LVP, and then we can do some questions?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, wow, we actually moved pretty fast tonight.
Yeah, we're at like 9:50, so I figured let's get us moving here.
There's a couple people floating around for MVP. I'm going to keep putting up my boy Wendell. I think he told Laurel about his idol. I know that Laurel at one point expressed a little bit of like discomfort with it. But like you said, I think they are way tighter than they're being led to believe. He does still have that idol. I don't anticipate Laurel telling anyone other than Donathan about it, but I really don't think he's in a position for them to like flip on him yet. I think they proved his loyalty tonight. He destroyed it in that first challenge. He led that team to victory. I think Wendell's still in a pretty safe place, but to give Joe a little bit of a bump, I will also give a vote of confidence to Angela. She had a breakout episode tonight, and I think she did really well for herself.
Yeah, and I think I have
you've Kelly and Desiree left.
That's it. I don't have Michael, huh?
No, that's on Vaughn's got Dominic, Michael, Sebastian, and Chelsea.
Yeah, I've got damn.
Yeah, I've got Wendell, Donathan, Jenna, Laurel. You have Kellen and Desiree, and Joe's got Angela.
Well, Kellen and Desiree could hang around for a while. I mean, they could go all the way to the end. And Kellen could still win. I think Wendell or Dom is probably going to end up pulling this out somehow. And the other one's going to be not in the final three. Maybe Laurel, maybe. But I think Michael could be – I think Michael's got to be MVP. I mean, he didn't tell anybody about the idol. He got all the votes, played the idol correctly. Yeah, he's in a terrible position moving forward, but he made it one more vote. And he wasn't able to swing anybody, but maybe this opens up the Malolo's eyes to, guys, they are literally just going to pick you off. Even when Michael doesn't go home, they still make sure Libby does. Like, do you really want to just watch your whole tribe get decimated? And, you know, Donathan and Laurel can believe Dominic and Wendell as much as they want, but Dominic and Wendell could also be like, hey, let's just stick with the Navidi. And that's got to be going through Wendell or Laurel and Donathan's head. It has to be. And also, Laurel, Wendell, Donathan, and Dominic is the worst alliance ever because Donathan and Dominic is hard enough to say in the same sentence. And then you have the Laurel, Wendell thing where they both end in L. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, it's really selfish of them to do that. I really don't appreciate that. Michael was the one person I forget. I think those three, Michael, Wendell, Angela, I think all those are very deserving MVPs. LVP, I got to think about for a second, but I like Jenna. Like, went to Go Silent.
Goes to Go Silent, doesn't get anything.
Loses her closest ally. And votes. Who did Jenna vote for?
She voted for Michael. She voted with Libby.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. She alienated someone who's walking back to camp. So, yeah. I mean, I'm actually going to give it to Jenna, who I actually think is on my team. So that was a bad decision.
Yeah, I mean, Desiree and Kellen didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, Chris is in the live chat.
Whatever.
Too. Chris.
Like, I could give it to Chelsea, but no, Jenna could easily get LVP tonight. But don't vote for Jenna because I want to win.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, how was the watch party? That one happened. Gotta find out from Joe Mena what Chris was like.
It was Chris, Joe, and Dominic. That was another thing. I was watching with my roommates again, who don't watch Survivor, but I've convinced them now. They call Ponderosa Glam Island, which is my new favorite nickname for Ponderosa. That's what I'm calling it from now on. But they were like, oh my God, I love Wendell. He's going to go home. And I was like, guys, Wendell's throwing a watch party. I saw on his Instagram. He's not throwing a watch party the night he goes home. Everything is fine. But I was getting a little nervous. I don't know.
Hey, you know, some people throw the watch parties when they're going home, you know? Chris was talking game like he was going to throw a watch party last week.
I
know. Week.
I was pumped. I was like, I'm going to go to this. They had one in Smithtown, but that's like 2 hours from me.
Yeah,
and
that's on Long Island, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't live on Long Island. I live near Long Island Railroad, or I work near Long Island Railroad. Whatever.
All right, jumping over to some comments. Andy Vogel, quick mouth for you. Math for you. Imitation Parvy's game was never on par with the OG. Libby placed worse than all three Parv plays combined. She was as bad as all of Parvy's finishes multiplied by each other. Only way to sugarcoat it would be to bring in exponents. That is actually what's insane. Parvy played three times, got first, second, and fourth. That is pretty
damn. Insane. Parvy's good.
Yeah. So that adds up to a total of seven.
Wow, we need to get the exponentials. Gamer Girls, it me is, or was the reward challenge a bit boring? I think there's always so much hype around a food challenge. Whatever goes on before it is going to be a little overshadowed. But I don't know. It was fine. I'm glad it didn't end in a puzzle. I guess I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing crazy. I mean, it's just a reward challenge. So reward challenges don't ever have to be that exciting for me. It's just like, give me something to watch. Don't give me like them like stacking the blocks, because then that can be very like when they were stacking the blocks and they were all walking out to the middle. I didn't love that as a reward because it's long and it's tedious and it just feels like it should be an immunity. This was a fine reward, I thought. Gamer Girl, do you think Angela would have been targeted had Michael won immunity? You think they would have ever figured out that she was lying? I don't think that Angela was getting targeted tonight. I think that one of the Malolos was always pretty much going to go home, or they were going to go for a big gun. It didn't seem like Angela was really in danger here.
Yeah, I feel like they weren't. Next week is the week that Angela's going to be in trouble. They're still so into this whole Navidi thing that I really don't think she was going to be targeted tonight.
Yeah.
Riley Birch, what is with Jonathan's edit? He's being shown as trying to take control of his game, yet not actually following through. Is this going to be his main storyline? The guy with good ideas who never implemented them.
Exactly.
We were kind of just talking about them.
Andrea 1 and 2.0. That's what she did. She had these great ideas, but she was always like one episode behind when it happened. So I hope that's not Donathan's case, but that's what it kind of feels like. He has the right ideas, just might not be hitting it. Let's see. Gamer Girl, how did Michael know to play his idol if no one told him that people were voting for him? He knew. I mean, there's no way. He's the biggest guy out there. He knows that he could get a feel from all of his alliance members that it's not happening. Also, nobody knows he has an idol. So maybe they were just like, maybe he got a really good hint from somebody that, hey, you're getting votes.
Yeah. And from what, I mean, you read exit interviews and a lot of people say like, you know what? I just felt it. Like I knew people weren't looking at me. People weren't making eye contact with me. No one wants to talk to me anymore. I think it's just kind of obvious.
Agreed. The Sandy Vogel one's good. I think we were
Andy Vogel. I'm going on record as saying that out of everyone voted out so far, or just everyone in general, Libby's by far the least deserving of playing again. With that said, and considering how much the Survivor Gods like to torture me, how long until she inevitably returns? Survivor just got renewed for season 36 season 37 and 38, and I heard she's going to be on both of them. So
yeah, she's actually taking over for Jeff Probst. I will say it's crazy because out of everybody who's been voted out, she probably is the one I would want the least to return again. If you just look at every single person who's voted out so far. But I also think that she has some of the most upside. I think she has a lot of upside. I think that she just had her back against the wall literally the entire time. The one time she was able to make a move, she made the right move. The rest of the game, she wasn't able to do anything because nobody wanted to help her out or work with her. You don't have to worry about Libby ever playing again, but I do think that, you know, she was fine. It's just, I mean, if you look at the first eight people voted out of this, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I'm just going to put it out there. Like you said, I think she has so much upside. She made a really big move with the Morgan boot. But then past that, like, as we found out tonight, people just wanted to get rid of her for no reason. And she never got her footing because no one ever really gave her a chance after that. And when it comes to players like that, I guess we don't need to see them again, but I feel like they're at a disadvantage from as a viewer because I just don't know why she was a threat. And it seems like she doesn't even know why she was a threat. So she never really got to play the exciting game that she could have had.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that Parvati, this just shows how much Parvati changed the game, is that everybody's so worried about another Parvati that somebody like Libby is always like the minor target. And it's a crappy thing. I mean, somebody needs to be like Parvati and actually get idols in their hands. Like these female characters like Libby, they need to get idols in their hands so that they can make the Parvati-esque moves, because that's what Parvati did. So
there is some absurd stat about the male to female ratio of who gets idols. I think, I don't know where I saw it.
Oh, the males are so much higher.
But it's wild. It's really crazy.
Well, it's just because, I mean, you look at somebody like Russell, he has to skew the numbers so much. I mean, how many idols did he find the entire time? Is there six?
Oh, that's a very good point.
I mean, it's a crazy amount. And Ben last year found, what, three or four? Like, it's a lot.
For three in a row, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot. So, you know. Mm-hmm. What's the next
Chris
one?
Is back.
Chris is back.
Chris shouldn't be getting – he's at Dom's viewing party if y'all want to drop in and say hi. Is he just, like, hanging out at this viewing party while –
I hope. I mean, hey, awesome. give us a shout out there, Chris. Yeah, we're paying. Yeah. Tell Joe we say hi. Tell Dominic we say hi. Tell them all we say
just
hello.
Shout out to them. Tell them all we say hi. Wow, what a time to be alive. This is so cool.
Let's see here. We got Thomas McGee. Great job to Phil and Alexa. You sure called that one. Clairvoyant or educated guess? Sorry, Libby. I mean, it was an educated guess.
I had her at the bottom. I don't know. You probably had her pretty low.
I think Chris... Wait, no, maybe one of you flipped it.
Give me one sec.
I don't want Martin to fruit.
Oh, wow, that was me. Put her at 11.
That was you, right? Put her at 11 and me and Chris both put her at 13, right?
Oh, no, I put her at 12. You put her at 13. Sorry.
Yeah, we both put her at 13. Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. There was 12 people left. You put her at 11. Me and Chris both put her at 12.
Oh.
So you got one. You lost 1 point there. So actually, Alexa, you're in last place now in the power rankings.
Whoop, whoop.
All right. Next one we have Island Living. I think it was very humbling of Dom to be self-aware to not gloat back at camp after the Chris vote off. It shows a more compassionate side. What heck? Wendell telling about Dom's business was not cool. He just let Laurel know how much power they have. Yeah, I think Wendell trusts Laurel a lot, like a lot. So,
yeah, for sure. Okay, Island Living, which is a question, which is something that I want to talk about. Why did Michael say, Ozzy, this one's for you? Really, it was Jason Siska that gave Ozzy's fake idol to Eliza, which is then played, and hence the curse of the effing stick. I mean, I feel like it's definitely Ozzy's thing, but I think I saw a tweet from Guatemala Brian. I think he was watching this episode with Eliza because he tweeted something super funny that was like, yeah, hearing Michael say, Ozzy, this one's for you, in front of Eliza was not particularly enjoyable. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it ended up, I mean, like, Eliza's the one who played it. Ozzy's the one who put it into motion. And really, Ozzy making that stick ended up getting them, because then they were all like, hey,
I mean, all three of them are cursed from that one.
Yeah.
But the curse has been reversed.
Yeah. JP, disappointing not to have a confessional from Sebastian. Do you guys believe he has a chance to win? Nah, he's not going to win, but he's fun.
He's not going to win, but I'm enjoying every minute of him. Also, I saw a lot of people tweeting this, like, Sebastian kept flinging the thing, and Jeff was like, Sebastian is so high. And I was like, yep, he is.
Cue the meme that was made last week.
Definitely. Oh, my God. His faces, his voting faces are incredible. I wanted to say one thing. Oh, this reminded me, going back to the effing stick idol real quick. When Jeff said, this is not just a stick, I like lost my mind. I was like, this is so good. It was so good.
Amazing. Because you know that they were all like,
the validity of the idol. I was like, is it fake?
Because you know that they were all like, oh man, he played the same thing. And then you even saw Michael like laugh when he looked around and they were like, damn, like that was really well done by Jeff. That's an Emmy worthy moment. Like, you know how they do like SportsCenter top 10 nominee, or they used to do that? Yeah. They got to do like Emmy moment nominee at the bottom. They should have done that instead of like a hashtag blindside or anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of good top 10s. That was great. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Loved that. Oh, correct idol play. So we got to remember to give Vaughn the points for that.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you updated this.
I sure did.
Whoa. Let's see if the math is correct.
I got time.
Let's see. So
3 hours.
JP, do you believe Jeff will add another idol to the game, or is two already too many? If yes, which idol is coming back next? Jeff's not going to do it. Probably some sad dream teamers gonna have to go out there or something, or maybe a camera guy. I don't know, but I think that there's definitely another one coming. There's no way they wouldn't. I mean, you still have to get the Taiwan. Yeah, you have to get the Taiwan and the Lauren one.
Yeah, the Lauren, like that's gonna be weird.
There's two more left, guys. So we have at least four idols with 11 people.
Mm, that's gonna be fun, and we have an extra vote.
And we have an extra vote.
Where am I? Oh my God, lots of caps. Nicholas Brewer, last thing before I crash. Hope 38 minutes ago. Hope you're asleep. So are Sebastian and Chelsea even going to be mentioned in an episode? Who is Sebastian? Also, Michael eats and says in immunity, I'll never eat this again in my life or get a chance to play again. Could you see a second chance? Who is Sebastian? Important follow-up question. We kind of already touched upon whether or not he'll play again, which is probably a likely. But I did like how he said, like, I'll never get a chance to do this again. Like, that's definitely coming from, like, a huge fan. And is upset that I would be about eating fish eyes. When will I ever do that again on national television? You know, it's pretty cool.
It's all a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and if you're scared of any part of it, I think you got to be crazy, you know? Like, I think you just got to go for it all, so why not? Last one, Cloud Noctis. Hey, Alexa and Phil, which other way could Michael have played his idol according to you? I mean, using his idol before Tribal. I think he did the best thing he could. Don't let anybody know, because then all of a sudden you start playing your head. Wait, are they going to make me play it? Are they going to vote for somebody else? I think that he did the best thing he could have.
Yeah, never tell people you have an idol. I mean, I would love to know, like, how much telling, you know, like people are like, oh, I tell people I got an idol to further my relationship with them. I just don't know how much that actually works, because I feel like you get this, like, quote unquote Laurel situation where she's like, wait a minute, should I maybe not trust Wendell? The thing is, if Michael doesn't have an idol and then he makes his big power move, no one's going to be like, oh my God, why didn't you tell me? Like, because you were voting him out. That's why he didn't tell you.
Exactly. You know? He takes no heat for this right now. So,
yeah, but he might go home in 1 week.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So that's all the questions.
There we go. Probably hit 1 hour right on the dot. Yeah. This overall, I'm happy with this episode. I'm frustrated with how the arc of the season is going. But on the flip side, I am very happy with how the relationship's being developed. I'm not happy at how long it took, but I feel like this episode definitely laid a lot of groundwork for the rest of the season. And for that, I'm very appreciative.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So I liked it. I think this was a good episode. I mean, it didn't have the most exciting boot, but the Tribal, for a second, I thought Wendell might go home and I got a little nervous. So I think this was good.
Yeah, that one Wendell vote, that lone straggler. I was like, oh my God.
That could get scary. So yeah, I thought it was good. And so, yeah, we're coming back on Sunday with we've already announced it, but we got John Carroll.
We got John Carroll. And like, yeah, who's not excited about that? We're probably the only people who have mentioned Marquesas as often as it's been mentioned in the past like 6 months. But yeah, we have John Carroll on this Sunday. We are extremely excited. We've appreciated the majority of Millennials versus Gen X contestants that have come on, but we're so excited for him. We've been trying to get him on for a little while, and we're really, really pumped about this one. Yeah. So yeah, that secret's given away with Chris, but we have a cool little like Chris and John Carroll story, one that kind of came out a little bit last week, but we'll have John tell the rest of the story. But we'll be live with John Carroll this Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern time, doing our episode 10 predictions at this point. There's 11 people left in the game. Vote for MVP and vote for LVP. Comment on this video. Hit subscribe on YouTube. Our subscriptions are climbing up. Tweet at us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, listen to us on iTunes, give us 5 stars because we're awesome. And we'll be back this Sunday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Oh my God, that has to be me.
It's
sorry.
You,
okay, goodbye, everyone.
It's you.
I was wondering why you were staring at me like that. Oh, also, one thing that's incredibly unimportant. CBS or Survivor deleted its Chris tweet of Chris's video.
Really?
Yeah, because I saw that someone just retweeted it. Someone commented it, and it says his tweet is no longer available. How are they not singing that to the sky?
I don't know. That's very interesting. Good catch, Alexa.
I know. You know, big Twitter master over here. Also, Chris was mentioned on the Ellen show, so Survivor is still relevant.
That's awesome. Also, IMDb did a top 10 tribal council votes tonight.
Yeah, Survivor is hashtag back.
And number one was the Wendell one. Spoilers, but it was good.
Compared to the Crystal one?
The Crystal one got number 2, but the Crystal one is, I think, upon rewatching the Crystal one in that video, the reactions are the funniest part. Randy's reaction was just like,
he's like a, it's like a dog saying you want to go for a walk. It's like,
it's whoop, so whoop. Funny.
So and funny. With that, I'm going to hit the stop broadcast button. Goodbye, everybody.